Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A verdict yesterday in the first Guantanamo detainee case tried in a U.S. civilian court. And the prosecutors might generously describe the outcome as a mixed verdict, but that underestimates the shock in the courtroom yesterday. The defendant, Ahmed Khalfan Gilani, was charged with 285 counts of murder and terrorism related to the 1998 embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. He was acquitted on 284 of those.
Right, all but one.
And the remaining charge still comes with a sentence of between 20 years and life in prison, and that is a charge related to assisting in those bombings back in 1998. Peter Kahano, the defense attorney who represented Ahmed Gilani, held a news conference yesterday. He delivered this verdict on the U.S. justice system, which we want to examine in this segment. Listen.
This verdict is a reaffirmation that this nation's judicial system is the greatest ever devised.
So you were in the courtroom yesterday, Karen Greenberg, executive director of the Center on Law and Security at NYU Law School, right?
Correct.
And would you agree with the defense attorney there, Peter Kahano, that this is an affirmation of the U.S. justice system, that Gilani was acquitted of 284 of those 285 counts?
Yes, I think this is a milestone, and there's a couple of things to say about his comment. One, the closing argument for Mr. Gilani, which Mr. Kahano delivered, was perfectly on point in terms of reasonable doubt on every single count, and it was effective. Second thing is that, you know, in terrorism cases in this country, we don't hear the word acquittal. We just don't hear it. So the shock was not just about this case. It was really about the last 8 years. And so I think you described it very well. It was surprising would be an understatement.
Now, if it was surprising, and you have very, you know, sort of articulately given us the context of so many of these convictions on charges that were in courts very much controlled by the military or the national security apparatus during the Bush regime, put me in the mind of the jury in this Gitmo case tried in a civilian court. Is the reasonable doubt coming from the fact that this took place so long ago? Does the reasonable doubt come from the fact that a lot of testimony was excluded by the judge? Did it have something to do with the judge's instructions to the jury? Give me a sense of what cues the jury was picking up here.
You know, it's a really good question, because when you're surprised, then you're like, how could that, you know, what possibly could have been on their minds? But sitting there, you know, many of us, I think observers, were saying to ourselves that, first of all, you have a post-9/11 jury. And although there would be an assumption that that would be a jury that, as in so many other domestic terrorism cases that are tried here, that they would come down with conviction just because they have sort of an allergy to the word terrorist and cannot see clearly. It didn't turn out to be the case. I mean, I think it's that there was an understanding that you can distinguish between someone who intended to commit an act of violence against the United States and someone who might not have, in terms of the murders, is what all those counts are.
But Karen, you're an experienced litigator, or at least observer of litigation. Same jury. Same charge, same defendant, but if it wasn't the embassy bombings we were talking about, if it was actually the 9/11 attacks we were talking about, same verdict, do you think?
You know, I don't know. I think in the 9/11, I don't think it would have been the same verdict. I think in the 9/11 case, the evidence is going to be much stronger. I think who Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is a much better known quantity. The one thing that didn't happen in this case that happens over and over again in terrorism cases is a direct link between dislike for the United States, dislike for the West, dislike for Jews, something like that. That did not come up in this case in a way that was directly attached in any way to Mr. Gilani. And that's what the jury heard.
And Karen, to a certain extent, the reason there's 285 charges against this guy is it's a typical prosecutor tactic that you charge them with as many things as you possibly can so that you have a better chance of getting a conviction on one of them.
Well, you had your five charges of conspiracy, and you had a couple of other charges, and then you had a charge each for each of the deaths in the Kenya bombing and in the Tanzania bombing.
So Karen, you know also about the military tribunals and the other sort of fora that have been used to try to exact justice in terrorism during the Bush administration. And the Obama administration is going to continue some of those. Same case, same defendant, same evidence. I mean, maybe not the same evidence because the trial procedures are different. In a military tribunal, is this more of an open and shut case for conviction? Or could you see the same result of acquittal even in that tribunal?
It's hard to imagine what will happen in those tribunals because that system is so flawed, but in seems to be tending recently towards convictions. But you're talking about five people out of 800. So by the time they get to the process, they're let go before they get to trial is what's happening if they don't think they have a conviction. So it's such a different process. But this was about discussions of the law over and over and over again. The jury had questions. The judge responded. The lawyers suggested to the judge what to say, agreed what the judge would say, and the judge said it. In a military commission, I think most people who study them would say that with that discussion never would have happened. It would have been decided in favor of the prosecution without any discussion, and that would have been it.
Karen Greenberg, I got to ask you a hard question here. So Gilani, let's say he faces some years in prison, is released, ends up in Yemen, responsible for a new act of terrorism. Is all this sort of celebratory applauding of the U.S. justice system out the window in that case?
It's always a risk you take with a criminal. This man on the verdict looked like he understood what had happened to him, and it was because of a system of justice that he had, been gifted, and I think he understood that deeply. But you never know. That's what a trial and a conviction is about.
Karen Greenberg, executive director of the Center on Law and Security at NYU Law School, talking about the verdict yesterday. One charge: Ahmed Khalfan Gilani, accused of related to the 1998 embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. He still faces between 20 years and life in prison. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.